This morning we're going to deal with, I think, maybe the most important subject in the Word of God, and that is the Incarnation. Jesus coming into this world in flesh, God in flesh. And so we have to talk about the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, we would have nothing. I had a conversation a couple of nights ago with my friend in North Carolina, and he's pretty well connected with preachers in North Carolina of his background and so forth. And he was asking me what I thought the most important subject was relative to preaching around Christmas time. And I gave him an answer that you could preach on many subjects, but I said, I think the most important, the one that is foundational to everything that we believe and hold dear spiritually, would be the Incarnation. I had no idea how he was going to respond to what I said. But as we continued to talk, he continued to touch on things that I'm going to touch on this morning. And he finally said, I think you're right. I think that is the most important subject of all the subjects that you could choose at Christmas time. I want you to understand something, first of all, this morning. That Jesus is not the Son of God because he was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin because he was the Son of God. You see, Jesus did not have his start, his beginning, in Bethlehem. Jesus stepped out of glory, as we know from Scripture. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we're going to be talking today about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm aware that the world laughs and mocks and makes fun of the virgin birth, that it's some sort of medieval superstition or something akin to that. They laugh and they mock at the idea of the virgin birth. And I can tell you furthermore that the devil hates the idea of the virgin birth, because it teaches both the humanity and the deity of his nemesis and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But worse than the mockery of this world and the hatred of Satan is the ignorance of so many so-called Christians concerning the virgin birth. Many of them doubt it. Some don't believe it at all. And others think that it's incidental. Okay, maybe not. Doesn't make any difference. I want to show you this morning, and I can't I can't begin to bring to you all the material that I've accumulated and have in front of me. So we're going to have to cut this down, and maybe, if God and the weather permits, we'll finish it next Sunday, okay? But hopefully we can get a couple of points in this morning. I want to show you in this message that we have no hope of salvation apart from the virgin birth. I want to show you that if you take away the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you have destroyed the whole foundation of Christianity. And it will all collapse like a house of cards. It is not incidental. It is fundamental. It is basic. It is an absolute necessity. The virgin birth. So, this morning, let's begin. First of all, I want you to think with me this morning about the sacred mystery. The sacred mystery of his birth. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The angel has announced to Mary that she's going to be with child. Now, Mary is a virgin. She's espoused to a man named Joseph. That is, she's committed to him. The families have met, the families have made the deal. The dowry has been given, promises have been made, and within the year, usually a marriage takes place. That's the espousal. The closest thing we have to it is engagement. But we make engagements and we break engagements at will. But an espousal was considered tantamount to marriage. It was a commitment to marriage. So this young virgin is espoused to this man by the name of Joseph. The ceremony itself has not yet transpired. They're not living together as husband and wife. And yet the angel Gabriel says in verse 34, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Now, she asks a very pertinent question in verse 34. How can this be? Mary is a young maiden. Most everything that I read and hear estimate that she was between 14 and 16 years of age. She wasn't 25 or 30. Mary knew the facts of life. How can this thing be? Big question. How is this going to happen? This is a mystery. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Meaning there has been no sexual relationship between her and Joseph. The word know not literally means that she had had no sexual contact at all with a man, any man, Joseph in particular. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. underscore there, the power of the highest. The power of the highest. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Just soak in those words for a moment. And then the angel goes on to say, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is her sixth month. Elizabeth is 6 months into this pregnancy. Never did Zechariah and Elizabeth think that they would become parents. She was known as the barren one. And yet God has given them that blessing. For with God, I'm reading now, for with God, and underscore that idea, folks. You might underscore this next phrase two or three times. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. A virgin having a baby. Nothing shall be impossible. One who is barren, even into her later years of life, beyond the time of childbearing, is going to have a son. The angel doesn't say a child, a son. The power of the highest. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And I want you to get that phrase in your mind this morning. With God, nothing is impossible. It may be unlikely. It may be not the ordinary thing. But when God is in it, it's not impossible. And you can say amen to that because it's true. But if you have difficulty with that, you're going to have difficulty with the virgin birth. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary accepted without objection this tremendous truth that the angel has just laid on her. You're going to have a baby. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about the mystery. The mystery of the virgin birth. May I tell you that the virgin birth does not depend on your understanding. It's not dependent upon your understanding for validation. You don't have to understand it to validate it. There's a lot of things that we don't understand. We don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass, give white milk, and later it becomes butter. And when it becomes ice cream, it can be any color. (Clears throat) Folks, I'm telling you, there are a lot of things we don't understand, but we experience. The late Vance Havner, I often quote him, and he said one time, "I don't understand electricity, but I'm not going to sit around in the dark until I do." Mary asked a question, a good question. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Now there are people who say, it's not the idea of a virgin birth. Is that not a biological impossibility? And again, I want to say to you, it is not a biological impossibility. I'm going to drop some things into your mind here in the next few moments that you may not have heard before, or you haven't heard very often, because we don't get that deep sometimes. I want to tell you, it's not a biological impossibility. If you let the angel answer the question, you let the angel answer the question, is there anything too hard for God? Verse 37, with God all things are possible. See, when we say it's impossible, we haven't taken into account God. We're thinking like earthlings. We're thinking like human beings. We're thinking about what we know or what we have experienced, and we haven't experienced anything like that. Mary asked a question, a good question. How can this be, since I know not a man? Robert G. Lee was a famous Southern Baptist preacher. He was an orator. We sometimes call a preacher with that gift a spellbinder. And Lee wrote a book among many. The title of the book, Lord, I Believe. And it deals with miracles. And in that book, there's a quotation from Dr. Lee. He said, and I quote, "I don't believe God is an impotent, puzzled bellhop running up and down the corridors of the house he designed by his omniscience and created by his omnipotence, having lost the key to some of the mystery of the rooms of his own house. It's impossible for him to be baffled or bothered or chained by physical elements." Now, what he was saying is that God is not bound by the very laws that he himself has created in the universe that he himself has made. He's the master and the Lord of that universe. And God can do anything that he well pleases because he is God. A I have no difficulty with the virgin birth if I believe in creation. If you can get past Genesis 1:1, everybody know what Genesis 1:1 is? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you can get past Genesis 1:1, you're home free concerning miracles. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you have difficulty believing the virgin birth? Listen, God made the first man without a father or a mother, out of clay that he formed out of nothing. Now, it may be a mystery to you and me, but it's not a mystery to God. I love a verse that Paul wrote in 2 Timothy. Is it 2 Timothy? No, it's 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The birth of Jesus. Justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Have you ever thought about that scene of angels? Scene of angels. Did you know that through all of eternity, through the eons of the ages, no angel, listen, this will blow your mind. Have you ever thought about the fact that no angel had ever seen God? Because God is invisible. The first time any angel or anybody ever saw God was when he became flesh. When he became flesh. When the Word was made flesh. The angel said, there is God lying in a manger. Chapter 2 and verse 7. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. God was seen of angels when he became flesh. Don't worry if you can't explain the virgin birth. You couldn't explain the virgin birth any more than you could explain God. When you can explain God, then perhaps you can explain the virgin birth. Great is the mystery of godliness. We join Mary in saying, how can this be? And we join the angel when we say, with God all things are possible. And God's people say, amen. That settles it. That's it. God did it. And if you have difficulty believing the virgin birth, let me tell you what your problem is. Your problem is that your God is too small. Your God is too small. You haven't reckoned the possibility that all things are possible with God. The mystery. Second thing I want to dwell on this morning, for what time we have left, I want you to see not only the sacred mystery of the virgin birth, but I want you to see, and this is very important, the saving ministry of the virgin birth. The saving ministry of the virgin birth. In Luke 2:8, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid." I'm going to read down through verse 14. "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, Messiah, Adonai.'" "And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The virgin birth and the incarnation. God being made flesh was necessary for our salvation. I want you to follow me here. God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the Garden of Eden, thus the earth. They sinned, and they lost that dominion. They forfeited it. They turned it over to Satan. And rather than being the servants of God, which they were, they now have become the slaves of Satan, and they infect the entire human race with their sin. Our dominion was lost by a M-A-N, man. And the only way it can be returned to us is by a man, another man. And that other man is the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us today are represented by one of these two men, either Adam or Jesus. In Adam, the scripture says, all die. In Christ, all are made alive. And so there are really only two men who've ever lived, and the rest of us are part and parcel of those two men. We are now today either in Adam only, or we are in Christ. We're still in the flesh, but we're now in Christ through faith in Him who He was. Now, Jesus Christ is called in Scripture the last Adam, or the second Adam, born of a virgin to undo what the first Adam did. And now, apart from the virgin birth, there's no hope of salvation. So how did he come to undo what the first Adam did? Well, the Bible clearly and plainly teaches that the wages of sin is what? Death. Romans 6:23. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin. So sin must be paid for. Sin must be atoned. And it must be atoned by shed blood. That teaching began in the Old Testament. God, listen, follow me. God in spirit had no blood. God is spirit, the Bible says. The great eternal I am is spirit. Well, the great eternal I am cannot die. The great eternal I am cannot bleed. But this salvation was lost by a man. This dominion was lost by a man. Therefore, it must be redeemed by a man. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But not just any man will do. The man must be a perfect man. He must be a sinless man. He must be an innocent man. We're all sons and daughters of Adam by birth. And no son or daughter of Adam can qualify. None of us can qualify. Why? Put it in your Bible, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man, his name Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passes upon all men, for all have sinned. Is there anybody here this morning who would dare stand up and say, I have never sinned? Is there anybody here this morning who would have the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to stand up and say, I have never sinned? Of course not. We know that we're sinners. By birth, by choice, by practice, by nature. We have all sinned and come short of that perfection, the glory of God. Had Jesus been born like we were born, he would have been a son of Adam. Had he been a son of Adam, he would have been a sinner. Had he been a sinner, he could not have been innocent. Had he not been innocent, he could be nobody's substitute. He couldn't take anybody else's place. The only sin he could die for would be for his own. Now God wants to save us. John 3:16 tells us that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants that for every individual. So, God's answer is a man, a sinless man, a perfect man, the God man, the Lord Jesus Christ, someone who was truly both human and fully sinless. Human that he might undo what the first Adam did, that he might shed blood. But that blood must be sinless blood. Whose blood was in that baby? It wasn't Mary's blood. It wasn't Mary's blood. By the way, when a little baby is being carried in its mother's womb, that little baby has a separate life from that mother. Sometimes those who call themselves pro-choice, I wish they would be honest enough to finish the sentence. Choice means I will kill a baby. Somebody says, well, we've decided not to have this baby. The only question is, are you going to have a dead one or a live one? Because you're going to have a baby. And then they say, well, I have control over my body. You had control before you became pregnant. But after you became pregnant, there's another life involved. That's not your body. It's somebody else's body. There's a different blood in that body of that baby. The mother may have one blood type. The baby has another blood type. May have the same, but may be different. Sometimes in a paternity suit in a law court, A father may prove that he did not sire a baby by a blood test. How's that? Because the bloodline is not determined by the mother, but by the father. Whose blood circulated in that little baby? It was the blood of God. Now, you say, whoa, wait a minute, preacher. You said just a few minutes ago that God doesn't have blood, that God is a spirit. Now you're catching on. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost has made him, the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer. That literally means a bishop. Take heed, he says. Take heed to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Did you catch the phrase? Which he has purchased with his own blood. Whose blood flowed through the body of Jesus? God the Father. God the Father. Not Mary's blood. God the Father's blood. Take heed to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. The blood of God circulated through that little baby in its mother's womb. Sinless, innocent blood could make atonement for your sins and mine. Well, I need to close. Let me wrap it up with a paragraph. And then if we get to meet next Sunday, I will give you point number 3. That's the reason I said that you take away the virgin birth and you have no hope of heaven. He came as he did, born of a virgin, to be what he was, sinless. He was what he was, sinless. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Jesus said, to do what he did. Die a substitutionary death. He died a substitutionary death to do what he did. Atone for sin. He did what he did that we might be born again and go to heaven. No sinless sacrifice, no atonement, no atonement, no new birth, no new birth, no hope of heaven. He was born of a virgin that we might be born again. He came to earth that we might go to heaven. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons and daughters of God. That's what it's all about. That's why we have the virgin birth. It is a sacred mystery, but it's also a saving ministry. Father, we ask your blessing upon the word today, not only as it's heard here, but perhaps through live stream, perhaps through YouTube. There will be those, even by accident, will come across it and listen and hear and believe and be saved. Thank you, Father, for the great, great mystery of the incarnation and all that rests upon that foundation, our eternal life, our completed salvation, heaven for eternity, for whosoever believeth. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. And amen.